Alright, I'm gonna flip this coin. If it's heads, I'll say something funny. If it's tails, I'll sit here in awkward silence.
Tails. Come on, tails. And?
To the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 2nd, 2010. Hello, everybody. This is Michael Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend, the artist formerly known as Rock God, Chris Whittington.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. Still known as Rock God to me, or just Rock.
You know what? And that's totally cool, and what I'm most happy about is that you got my last name right for the first time, so thank you.
I did.
Huh, that is true.
What else? Because Chris...
I was going to say, that's what happens when you meet, you know, in person.
Yes, it's much easier.
Well,
Chris, you know, our younger brother, he helps now because, you know, if he needs to say something, he'll say Chris Whittington. Like, you said Rock was going to be on. He's like, who's that? We're like, it's Chris Whittington. He's like, oh, yeah.
Ah, see. I'm becoming
He knows real names. I'm still playing with this coin. I'm just dropping it all over the place. Hello, and welcome to the show, everybody. It's our post-PAX show.
Yep.
You put together that thing, AJ. That was nice.
Thank you.
And I didn't get a chance. I didn't actually listen to it myself yet, though.
Oh, well, I'm glad you knew it was
well,
nice.
Well, you knew I was busy. Well, I listened to the beginning. It was nice. It was a good concept for what we did. Basically, it was the only thing we had time to do. But it came out nice anyways. Here's what we're doing today, everyone. We're going to start off with news. Then we got the quiz. Then we're doing a Let's Go topical, followed by our weekend gaming. Then we'll go into the releases, and that'll be the show. Sound good, everyone?
Sounds good.
I love that plan.
I like it, too. All right. Get us started, Edge Guy.
Okay, first news item is that heavy rain is going to get move support.
What?
Move support? No, why not? Isn't most of the door just pushing buttons to, like, move your hands?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. Plus, you have the buttons on there to do certain things. No, that makes sense. I like it.
Okay.
I guess.
It's not known if it's going to be like a patch or a re-release or what, but it is coming.
So. I'm hoping it's a patch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows, though? It's like they're re-releasing that Resident Evil with the move support, right? I'm assuming that won't be a patch. Or is that just the gold edition's going to be ready? I'm pretty sure it's not a patch. Remember they were showing that off. I'm assuming it's essentially to make it play like Resident Evil 4 Wii Edition, which was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Alright, so that's that. We have a few things that came out of PAX that were all very exciting. First of all, as our brother Chris found when he was at the Rock Band panel, they inadvertently confirmed harmonies for Rock Band 3.
Oh, really?
Which well, I can't imagine is too shocking to anybody.
Yeah, that should have been assumed, I think. But still, that's cool. I'm assuming that Rock Band 1 and Rock Band 2 songs will work with Rock Band 3, and I'm assuming those won't have harmonies added.
Yeah, because there's like 1,000 of them.
I wonder though if this means now you can put Beatles songs into Rock Band 3.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? Good.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
Well, the way this was found out was someone asked. They confirmed that the songs in Green Day Rock Band would be exportable and have harmony. So someone asked at the panel, like, so if you export these songs to Rock Band 2, we'll have the harmony. And the one guy was like, well, we confirmed the harmonies for Rock Band 3, right? And everyone was just kind of like, no. He's like, oh.
Oops.
Well, it was great working on harmonics, everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we got that. Then at the first Q&A with Gabe and Tycho, when someone asked, when is Penny Arcade Adventures on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness Episode 3 coming, Tycho, or Jerry, whatever you call him, like kind of stepped like really front forward to the stage and very... very apologetically said there is no episode 3.
He was like, very somber.
Yeah, they seemed really upset about that. Like they let us down. I kind of wanted to be like, dude, it's okay. It's okay.
I wonder what the story is there. What they're saying is that they're working on Ron Gilbert's new game, Defspank. The guys who made the Penny Arcade game.
And officially they're saying like it's just between all the work they're doing, they were worried that they wouldn't have the time to commit to make episode 3 what they wanted it to be, and it was decided just better off to not do it. What he did say is they are going to finish the story in some sort of written form, which is cool.
Yeah, I think that the reason why he felt as bad as he did about it was, you know, they always said back in the early days, because they were always so harsh on games, that they said if they were to ever make their own game, that they would make sure that it was the best game that they could possibly make. And whenever they decided to do this game and they were doing the development, I saw like interviews with Jerry, and Jerry was like, oh my god, this is ridiculously hard. Just like, so, you know, it's just so draining, and it takes so much out of you creatively mm-hmm. that I just think that they kind of got to the point where it's like, well, we're doing PAX, we're still doing the Penny Arcade Strip, you know, there's this huge, you know, kind of geek empire that they're building around them. They really don't have the time to invest into a game development, you know, right now. And just like he said, he goes, if they do it, they would have to have done it half-assed, and they're just not willing to do that, so... but yeah, he takes it hard, because I'm sure he, you know, those guys, they want to always do their best in everything that they do, and be sure to give their fans good stuff to enjoy. And you know, if they can't do it, kind of bums them out.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, because I liked the first two as much as I did. But yeah. Oh well, there'll be plenty of other things to play.
Yes.
Then did you guys hear the saga of the Breach Thief?
I kind of heard about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I did.
So here's what happens. This 20-year-old kid was, he saw like a network cable plugged into the Breach demo units at PAX, and Breach is a shooter from Atomic Games, the guys who also make 6 Days in Fallujah. It's an XBLA shooter. It looks pretty nice. And he apparently just kind of, when no one was looking, snuck into like this area, plugged his computer in, and started downloading the game code. Of course, some of the Q&A people noticed him, and you know, quickly confronted him, and he ran, and they actually caught him with the help of like the enforcers as well at the show. And he very readily admitted what he was doing, and by the way, like, he saw it as no big deal, because he was just going to take it home so he and his friends could play it. Like, because, you know, it's real easy to deploy custom code onto your retail Xbox 360, I'm sure. So anyway, he was arrested and put up $200 bail that night. And he was due to appear for arraignment the following morning, which he did not do, even though everyone somehow figured out his gamer tag, and he was, like, at home playing Call of Duty when he should have been at the police station. So there was a warrant put out for his arrest, and he found out about that and kind of freaked out, I guess, and turned himself in. So his arraignment is now set for May 2nd, or 22nd, rather. And he can apparently face, like, up to 5 years in jail.
Good. Jeez.
Because...
No,
like,
I don't... Come on. Poor kid.
Well... I mean,
you won't go to jail.
Poor kid, yeah, he didn't like he knew exactly what he was doing.
The bottom line is the police said, like, what is this worth? And they said, well, I mean, if we had that guesstimate, $6 million. So I mean, he was basically trying to steal $6 million worth of product.
Yeah.
He only got 14 megabytes of the 2 gigs downloaded too before he was caught. I mean, how stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumb. I just feel like this kid is so dumb. I feel bad for him in a way. I don't know.
Right.
What happens will happen. You know, I won't lose sleep over it, but no. It's kind of a funny saga.
So you guys have any other PAX news stories you want to talk about? That's kind of like the big stuff I really pulled.
No.
I feel like we covered most of it.
There wasn't much news, really.
Right.
I mean, I know the first footage for like Dead Space 2 was shown, but yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
PAX is old hat at this point, man.
Yeah.
That was last week.
So let's see. The newest PlayStation 3 firmware is out, and its big features that removes the install OS option that let you put Linux on the old PS3 models. I'd be upset if I actually put Linux on my PS3, but as it stands, I'm just going to say I don't understand why they're doing this. I guess their excuse is it makes the system insecure, and I was like, well... Yeah, didn't you think that would be the case like 4 years ago when you decided on this?
Yeah,
feature?
But they were trying to be the hip kind of console where you could, you know, everything was open. You could install your own hard drive. You could, you know, use your own USB keyboard if you wanted to, and mouse. And they wanted it to be as accessible to all the geeks to be able to do anything that they really wanted to do with it. You know, it wasn't a closed platform like the 360. So it was kind of like it was their version of street cred.
Right.
This is pretty much them still backing off from the original PlayStation 3 philosophy.
Yeah, very true. So then we find out that, remember how I talked about how the timing of the Nintendo 3DS announcement was really weird?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the reason for that is
it was about to, well, it had leaked to Japanese press who were about to report on it, so Nintendo just kind of jumped the gun and said something first, which is kind of the opposite of what Sony basically did with the PSP Go, where they just kind of pretended like everyone didn't know about it, and then it really flopped. So it's probably a smart move on their part. But, so yeah, that's why it happened at, like, 3 a.m. on, like, a Friday night or whatever it was.
Yep, there you go.
Then we have, well, the iPad comes out tomorrow. Anyone excited?
No.
Okay. A couple of iPad things that we should mention. First of all, it appears that, much like the iPod Touch, you'll have to pay for OS upgrades on this. Except it's weird. Like, the way this was worded, it sounds like it's going to be, like, let's say, like, iPod OS 4.0 comes out. You'll get 4.0 for free. But then any updates after that you have to pay for. So it's like you could see how great it is, and then you have to pay for it, which is interesting. Also, this it's kind of mad when I found this out. If you hit, like, so we all know, like, the iPad will play iPhone games, but if you want to get the iPad version of an iPhone game, like Civ Rev, for example, is going to have Civ Rev HD or whatever they're calling it, you still have to buy that new, like, for $14.
That doesn't surprise me, really.
Yeah, I guess it shouldn't. I just don't understand why it can't just be one program and it just, like, detects if it's on an iPad or an iPhone.
Nah, I don't know. Because it's technically a different thing when you're getting the HD version. I mean, I know it's not that different, but that's what it is.
I guess you have to look at it. Is this going to be, like, the difference between, like, I don't know, maybe a DS and a DSi-only game? Or is this going to be, like, or some people are still thinking in terms of a computer. Like, you just have the more powerful computer, so you just turn up the settings.
I don't know. I don't know. What are we talking about this for? iPad?
I don't know.
I guess I guess it's important, but it's hard for me to care.
I don't have a lot of news. I'm just trying to talk about things.
I gave you news, man.
Yeah. Okay, well,
fine. We'll have plenty of talk about. Don't feel obligated to pad the news.
Yes.
Well, get Final Fantasy, okay. Pad?
Oh!
Look at that. Oh, a joke's so good when you have to point it out to people that you made one.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Final Fantasy IX is coming to the PlayStation Network.
Oh, man.
What?
That's good. That's good.
It's another 7 and 8. Another Final Fantasy game that I won't play.
Oh! You should, though. IX's so good. And it's probably the best soundtrack that's not Final Fantasy VI. In the series. I'm a fan.
Where'd I go?
Quiet.
Okay. So the Blur beta, which technically ended a couple days ago, is going to open up to all 360 users next week.
So, but isn't it a demo at that point?
Pretty much.
I hate that. It's the open beta that everyone can download and play, and our game has gone gold. I don't know what you call that, besides a demo, but whatever. See, any demo can be a beta, since you can just make patches for anything. Anytime they release a demo, they're going to get feedback on it and probably change something. But whatever. Whatever makes them feel good. Beta's kind of a hot buzzword right now. Ever since that Halo 3 beta, everybody wants to give away betas.
Modern Warfare beta,
yeah, it's like, here's a beta. Take a beta.
And the final story I have is, as of today, PAX Prime pre-registration has begun for September 3rd through 5th. You can get your tickets. 3-day pass is $55, a 1-day is $35. Apparently it's higher because Seattle now has a convention tax.
Oh, are you serious?
Probably because of PAX.
Well, as much fun as PAX was, I'm going to E3 this year also, so...
Well, that is Labor Day weekend, which means a lot of people have that Monday off afterwards, too, so...
Even still, I just...
I might go ahead and get my ticket now, and then if I can't go, I'll get rid of it, but I definitely want to go.
Yeah, that's something I would do. Not with me this time, sir.
Oh.
Are you...
Well, sadly.
That's what you said about PAX East. I, like, bought my ticket in October, like, I can't go.
So, Mike...
Are you going
to E3 for work?
Yes, I am.
Oh, man.
It'll be fun times.
Load up on your energy drinks, then.
I will. I don't know. PAX East itself was pretty exhausting for me. God.
Yeah.
And you had, what, 3 appointments? Just think when you have appointments that you have to here to all day.
Well, the first day, though, I was working on 1 hour of sleep, so... Because we drove up there that whole time, and you drove the whole time, because you wanted to. So I was staying up the whole time, at least. It was a 10-hour drive. Oh, my God. Yeah, can't even think about it. Imagine it. Hey. Although it was preferable to the 9 hours I just spent calling strangers who yelled at me.
Oh. I'm sorry. It's not really funny. It's really not funny.
It kind of is. I'm basically a telemarketer now because no one knows what I'm calling about. Yeah, I have had like 4 people threaten to sue me.
Wow.
One lady was mad because it was Good Friday, which I didn't know that we couldn't call people on Good Friday.
That was my favorite.
The lady's like, who's calling me on this holy day of Good Friday? And like at this point you wish, oh, can I just hang up? She's clearly not going to be going for this pitch. But oh well.
Oh, poor Mike.
All right. What else, AJ?
That's it.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Let's get to the quiz.
Cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool until you lose. All right, here we go. 5 questions in the bonus question. You need 5 points to win. All right, first question. What was Rockstar North's original name?
Ooh, it's like it's acronym. It's an acronym. It's like BMG Games DMA. Or something. BMA?
DMA.
DMA. DMA.
DMA Design. I will give that to
you.
Okay.
Nice.
Before GTA, what other popular series did DMA Design develop?
Oh! I know this.
Yeah, I do too.
TikTok.
It's
TikTok.
Totally not anything like GTA either. It's completely different. I don't know.
Yeah. There weren't very many things like GTA before GTA.
Well, it wasn't a crime-based, you know, drive around being an asshole kind of game, so.
All right, do you guys have an answer?
No.
No.
Lemmings.
Oh, shit.
That's it.
Lol. All right. Name one of the 2 Nintendo 64 games DMA Design developed.
Lemmings 64?
Rock, do you have a better guess? It's not Lemmings.
God, I have no idea.
Come on, there's no Lemmings 64 and you know that.
I don't know. Pick my opinion.
There could have been.
Body Harvest and Space Station Silicon Valley.
Oh.
What was the first game that Rockstar North released under that name?
Rockstar North?
Mm-hmm. So they stopped being DMA. This is the first game that had Rockstar North on it.
Rockstar or Rockstar North? Aren't they different?
I'm saying Rockstar North. Rockstar, I don't think there's anything that's just Rockstar.
I thought there was.
No, it's Rockstar North. Rockstar North is who we've been talking about this whole time.
Is it Grand Theft Auto?
No, it's GTA Vice City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were DMA for a while. GTA 3 was DMA, technically.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
According to Wikipedia. All right. Besides GTA, what was the only series that Rockstar North developed in the last decade?
Bully.
Manhunt.
Oh.
They didn't do Bully.
Did they not?
That was another Rockstar.
Okay, did they not do... Oh, never mind. Okay. You just answered.
According to my Wikipedia thing, and I'm inclined to agree, there's a bunch of other Rockstar studios, so it's probably one of them.
Mm.
All right, bonus question. What year did DMA release their first game?
1986.
Yes.
1988. It was called Menace. Wrong. All right, guys.
All right.
All right, you guys ready to go topical?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Got 6 bullet points here. AJ, the iPad will hurt Nintendo's portable market.
No. Although, like, there was, like, a chart released this past week that showed how much the iPhone was cutting into the handheld gaming market. Didn't really hurt Nintendo so much. It actually cut into a good chunk of the PSP market.
Now, is that really... How did they prove that? Or is it just a graph of, like, sales? Because you could just say the PSP has just kind of been declining in popularity. You can't really... Did they really prove that correlates to the iPhone?
I'm not 100% sure in what the data was. I just looked at it and didn't think much of it. But
some journalist you are.
Yeah, I know. I don't think so. I mean, it's still... It's still a minimum $500 device. And even Apple's not really pushing the gaming capabilities of this thing. So I don't think it's going to hurt Nintendo, no.
Rock?
No, I don't think it's going to hurt them either. I think that what it's going to do is it's going to actually expand the iPhone's dominance. You know, because you know, iPhones are, you know, there's a certain market that it's a really good fit for, and it's usually, you know, males in their 30s who have expendable income. And the iPad, I think, is going to be directed more towards people who don't necessarily need to carry around an iPhone. You know, like, for example, my wife is the perfect kind of customer for the iPad, because she does not like to use computers in general. And if she does, the only thing that she uses it for is to pay bills and send emails. And something like the iPad would be a perfect replacement for a computer or for a laptop for her. And if she has something like that laying around the house and she's bored, you know, I can easily see her, you know, playing something like Zuma or Bejeweled or something like that. And so I think it's just mostly just going to expand Apple's kind of gaming offerings and how many apps and games are going to be selling. So,
all right,
it's all good.
Rock.
Yeah.
Cliffy B's game reveal on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, which we know is happening,
yeah,
will inevitably be Gears of War 3.
Yeah, sure. I don't see why it wouldn't be Gears of War 3. I think that my only question is, you know, why the secrecy? Because if it was Gears of War 3, and even if he said, okay, exclusively, if you tune in to Jimmy Fallon, you'll get to see the first footage of Gears of War 3, they would get just as many people tuning in. But when they say their new game, it almost makes me kind of wonder if it could be something else. Like, maybe it could be, you know, maybe Epic is working on some kind of Natal-based software. You know, because Natal's been on Jimmy Fallon before, and I don't know, that could be a possibility, but I don't know.
AJ?
Yeah, it's probably going to be Gears. I mean, Chris, you say, why the secrecy? I say that about, like, 90% of all the reveals in the gaming industry, because they're also obvious.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's all these countdown clocks, and we're like, oh, what could it be? And it's exactly what you thought it was going to be. This will probably be Gears. Because usually they do announce it at GDC, and they didn't this year. And maybe this is why, because they knew they had this Fallon gig coming up.
Yeah, it could be. And okay. I think it's really it's a smart move on Epic's part, you know, because a lot more people... You know, I kind of wonder who is watching Jimmy Fallon. I know I'm not watching it. I like the guy. I think he's
There's
funny.
People.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy. I think he's funny. I like what he did on Saturday Night Live.
Well, here's the good thing.
I mean, I don't watch late-night TV anymore, and I don't think a lot of young people do.
Here's the thing. If you announce Gears of War 3 at GDC or E3 or whatever, everybody who's there or, you know, would pay attention to that, they would find out anyways. If you announce it on Jimmy Fallon, the people who may not, you know what an E3 is, but maybe know what Gears of War is and would be interested if there's a Gears of War 3, are going to find out.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just an argument for it being a good move. Okay, next topic, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
You wish it was something else.
Not really. I don't know.
Is it a problem of you like Gears of War so much, or is it just you don't really have enough confidence in them to make anything
other than Space Marine shooters? Yeah, pretty much that.
Like, even if it's not Gears of War 3, it'll kind of be Gears of War 3.
Yeah, well, let's look at what franchises they have. Unreal Tournament and Gears of War. They're Space Marine shooters. One's first person, one's third. I don't think they can make a second person one, so...
There's Jazz Jackrabbit. Maybe Jazz Jackrabbit's making a comeback.
That was a Space Marine who was also a rabbit.
That's a space rabbit.
Yeah. I'm fine with it being Gears 3. I don't really need much else from Cliffy B.
Weren't they making an Xbox Live Arcade game? Or was that Shadow Complex? Did they make that?
No, they just stopped. They bought that developer, I think.
Okay, that's right.
They were impressed.
Right, because wasn't he there for the first showing of that game? And, like, he played it and it was buggy. Remember? No?
Yeah.
Or he, like, jumped on something invisible.
Yeah, I just know that he played it at, like, GDC the year before and, like, ran and got, like, Mark Rain. And they're like, oh, my God, here's a check. Put down a number. We want to buy you guys.
There you go. Rock, do you wish it was something else?
Not really. I enjoy Gears, and I like what Epic does, but I'm not a big Epic fan. So, I'm not really... Well, I had the Shadow Complex game was pretty awesome. and but that's not really Epic. I mean, they're just owned by them, so no, don't really care. I'll read about it after the fact. I'm not going to tune in for it though.
I actually still need to finish Gears of War 2. I never did.
Shame on you. All right then, Rock. Here's for you. You are sick of video game April Fool's jokes.
I'm not so much sick of April Fool's jokes. I'm just kind of... I'm just kind of sick of the glut of gaming media, period. You know, yeah. I'm getting to the age and point in my life where I love games, I'll always love them, and I like to keep up with them, but I want to have filters. I want to have, like, one or two sites, you know, maybe a couple magazines of where I get my information, and that's that. And the thing is that anytime I log on to the internet and I hit Twitter or I hit Facebook, and any kind of event that's coming up, be it PAX or E3 or April Fool's Day, and just everybody comes out of the woodwork to say something about it. As much as I love reading some of that stuff, I just instantly get exhausted. So, I mean, I like to see what Blizzard does, because they always have a pretty clever April Fool's. And but the thing is, it's people expect it now. So it doesn't. I mean, before, April Fool's Day was like something that people just kind of forgot about, but on the internet it's kind of like a big event. So it's almost like Halloween. You know, it's like what's IGN gonna do? Are they gonna make another Legend of Zelda movie? You know, trailer or whatever. Which, by the way, theirs this year was kind of funny. That Bollywood version of Halo, that was pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, whenever I saw all that chatter about April Fool's Day, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Just, you know, I'll read the recap, you know, at the end of the week and find out the best stuff to see.
AJ?
Yeah, I guess I don't mind it so much when it's overt, like overtly fake. It's when people like try to legitimately announce something and it's, oh wait, it was a joke, it was April Fool's, like that pisses me off. And that doesn't happen as much anymore. But now too, like Chris said, it's just too much of it. It's like, all right, everyone, let's just get this shit over with. Tell me your funny joke. Okay, that's great. Come back tomorrow when you have real
things to
say. We're a
bunch of jaded old men, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, it's just annoying. Because it's one thing, like, think of it this way, especially for a guy like me who's trying to follow all the gaming news. Imagine a day where, okay, in the average day, you might get 4 or 5 really interesting stories. Imagine a day where purportedly everybody has a major story, and 99% of them are fake. But some idiot does try to make a legitimate announcement on April 1st, so you still gotta read all this crap. That's basically how I spent my day yesterday, was just going through Google Reader every hour, just in case something real came through.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass.
Did, never mind, I forgot what I was gonna even say.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it happened.
That was fascinating. Something of April Fool's, I guess. Aha. Okay. AJ.
Yo.
Split Second was the most surprising game of PAX East.
I didn't play much else. So, I guess I'd say yes. I kind of figured it'd be good when I started reading about it a while ago. I think for other people, it might have gotten them to finally kind of notice it, which I'm happy about. Another game, actually, I'd say was really surprising was Snoopy Flying Ace.
It was fun, but there wasn't that much to it.
Yeah, it was basically Crimson Sky with Peanuts characters.
God.
Oh.
Rock, did you play Split Second?
I watched Pete play it, and I gotta say, I didn't think it was anything that special. I mean, I'm sure it...
Oh, but did you get the whole blow-up aspect of it? The blow-up button?
Yeah. Basically, where I guess you earn the ability to create environment hazards for fellow
right.
Races. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm just not a big racing kind of guy. I mean, Pete is. You know, he likes racing games. So he kind of got a kick out of it. But no, it just didn't really surprise me.
All right. Okay, here's our last one, guys. Rock, what is your most anticipated game for the rest of the year?
God, for the rest of the year. Man, that's a good one. This is going to sound kind of strange. Well, there's kind of a three-way tie for right now. And
I like three ways.
Hey, who doesn't, really? So they're all kind of for different reasons. Believe it or not, I'm actually excited about Halo Reach because I feel like this is going to be the first Halo multiplayer game that's going to provide me with the kind of experience that I'm wanting from Halo.
How's it going to be different? Because I'm not following Halo Reach very much. I wouldn't know.
I like that they're going to be increasing how many players are going to be on one map. That's really cool. I also like how you can customize your player character a lot more. And I also like how the weapons from the Vidoc that I saw, the very first one that Bungie released, it really seemed like the weapons had in a feel that was more substantial than the weapons that are usually in Halo. And matter of fact, I don't think that I've really felt that any of the weapons in the Halo series have been as impactful as the original pistol from Halo 1. And it feels like that from what they've done with the battle rifle and how they've adjusted a lot of the other weapons, they seem to be to have more of a kinesthetic kind of appeal to them. And plus, it's, you know, Halo is one of the few like online shooters that, you know, my Alex and I can kind of play together and play cooperatively, and a lot of the guys in the squad are Halo fans, like George, and, you know, there's people all over the place. It's going to be one of those games where I can log on to Xbox Live and be like, oh, you know, three of my buddies are playing, so we can just hop on, do some co-op, and get to it. So I don't know, I'm kind of stoked about it. And I also like the character designs for the Spartans that are in there. Like, I like the guy who's got the spray-painted skull on his helmet. He's just pretty sick looking, and I don't know. I just kind of dig that. I like the fact that it's a Halo without Master Chief, but there are also Spartans in it. So I just think it's going to be neat. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm allowing myself to be excited for a Halo game for the first time in a while.
All right. So what were the other two for you?
Are Red Dead Redemption, because you get to skin horses. You know.
Yes, of course.
I mean, seriously. Game of the fucking year, 2010, baby.
That's right.
I'm stoked about that game because I'm looking forward to playing GTA in the West. You know, I think that's the perfect setting.
See,
for that.
I had to say I didn't really care about that game at all until I did get to play, and it was really cool. I am pretty excited about it now, actually.
As someone who is not a member of the gaming press, there was no way that I was going to stand in line to play that game.
Oh, no. I almost wouldn't have either. It's not coming out that long
from now.
It's
like next month or something, right? May? So, whatever. Yeah. I could wait, but...
It was a long line. Definitely the longest one of the show by far.
And I think...
They had the nicest booth, too, awesome. So...
And then the next one, honestly, that I'm looking forward to playing is Alpha Protocol, because I'm really hoping that it's going to be more... substance than style, because I know that the artwork is absolutely 100% generic.
Alpha Protocol behind closed doors at PAX?
Jeff did too, and Jeff said that he kind of left unimpressed and not excited about it.
Yeah, I definitely do hope that it has more substance than it has style, because it does not have a whole lot of style.
Wait. Is Fallout New Vegas coming out this year? Okay, replace.
Yes. I don't think. No.
If it does.
That's what they say.
We don't know anything about that. That can't. No, that's not allowed. About that. Plus, it's being made by. Who's it? Oh, it's them again.
Obsidian.
What's with you and Obsidian?
Obsidian. Former Black Isle Studios guys are the guys that were behind the original Fallout, and I have faith. They were also some guys that were at Troika, and so I kind of have faith that I'm going to be able to get that experience from them at some point. And the thing is, I still have Neverwinter Nights 2 on the PC that I haven't been able to play yet, because my PC can't really run it that well. And I know that they're...
Remind me, did you like Fallout 3?
Yeah. I really did, yeah.
Okay,
so I have faith in those guys. I know that they're not really good at the technical aspect of making games, but their writing is always really clever. Their characters are always really great, and that's really what I look for in games anyway. So, pulling for them. Go Obsidian.
All right, AJ. AJ, what's yours?
My most anticipated game, huh?
Yes.
I don't know, I've been trying to think of something. It's just the problem is we know like practically nothing of what's coming out in the fall.
Well, what's announced, obviously.
So okay, well, going on what's announced, I guess I'd have to say Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that's going to be an absolutely fantastic game, and it's coming out in a couple months too, so that's good too. Halo's another big one for me, I guess, because
yeah, because you loved those ODST so much.
Hey, I played a lot of it.
You didn't beat it. It's supposedly a 6-hour game. You couldn't have played that much of it.
Uncharted came out, okay.
Yeah, don't tell me you played a lot of it. I played like 4 hours of it. Oh, shut up.
I hate you.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm done.
What about you?
All right, good.
What about you there, Mr. Mike?
Well, Mario Galaxy 2 is a big one. I'm really looking forward to Portal 2, though. That's going to be awesome,
shit.
I think.
That's true.
Portal 2 is going to be
awesome. I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm stoked about that.
That one's a little bit further out, but it's this year.
I'm a little worried just because it's going to be a full price game, so that means it's going to be a much more significant, you know, there's going to be a lot more content in this one, obviously, than the first one. And part of the reason why I liked the first one so much was because it was a 3-hour game. You know, I kind of like that more, right. Since I thought that it was the perfect kind of time frame. So I'm interested to find out what direction they're going to take Portal 2 and if it's going to be able to sustain, you know, an 8 to 12 hour game.
Right. I'm excited to see how they pulled off. I'm being the Kingdom Hearts fanboy that I am, Birth by Sleep on the PSP is another one for me. If I had to pick one right now, I'd say Portal 2. Because as much as I'm looking forward to Mario Galaxy, I pretty much know what I'm going to get from that. Like, you know, you kind of know what you're going to get from Portal, but there is a question mark next to that one. What exactly are they going to do? Ooh, how are they going to do this? So, I'm excited for that. All right then, guys. You ready to talk about our week in gaming?
Yeah. You go first.
Me?
Now, you have the most to talk about, Mr.
Well,
Media. My name's on the badge guy.
Right. Well, before we talk about PAX, yeah, I mean, it mostly will be, actually, because I haven't played anything since I got home. I still have to freaky beat Final Fantasy 13. I swear to God, I thought I almost beat that game 3 weeks ago. Christ. Okay, been playing a lot of Pokemon. Played a lot of that at PAX Online, so, God, that was a godsend.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Pokemon. Wait. Hold that thought. I gotta say this about Pokemon. At PAX. So, you know, me and a couple of people were talking about how cool it is that the PokeWalker is kind of a way for Nintendo to trick people into exercising, you know, to level up their Pokemon. And there was this guy, Pete and I were in line for, I think it was John's panel, and there was this really, really, really big dude sitting on the ground, and he was playing Pokemon in one hand, and in the right hand he was holding his PokeWalker, and he was swinging it in a circle. Almost in like a jerking off kind of motion.
Well, people have concocted elaborate devices to.
Yeah, it's like obviously this little trick didn't work for us.
The irony is so sweet. Oh, that's beautiful. Well done, America. Okay, so PAX, you know, it's weird because, you know, there was a very nice show floor. I didn't play as many games as I thought I would have. I really did spend more time just sort of doing panels, kind of doing more community things. Red Dead Redemption was my favorite game, definitely, and because yes, you can skin a horse, but no, it was that whole kind of you do that thing where you sort of stop and you kind of get to aim your shots, and then when you start time again, he just does all those shots right away. That's really cool. It's very satisfying.
Is it kind of like the Splinter Cell thing? Like you mark them almost like a Panzer Dragoon sort of deal.
Yeah.
That's what Splinter Cell does as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Red Dead looks really cool. I always trick myself with these GTA kind of games, like, oh, I'm gonna like this one, and I usually don't. I have hope for you, Red Dead. Speaking of GTA games, there were a lot of sandbox games at PAX, I think almost every game, because there's also Mafia 2, which I played, and that was actually pretty cool, too. It was a lot more like GTA, but anyway, it just seemed really solid. It was a good-looking game. This and Red Dead, I really liked it because you had a gun, and it was a pistol, and you shoot people one time with their pistol, and they die like they're supposed to. Like in the real life. But it was a very good-looking game. But there was Crackdown 2, which I was not that impressed with.
It did not demo very well.
Yeah, that's what people were saying. Is that it seemed like more of a case of it not demoing well.
It did, and well, because they were demoing the multiplayer, which, you know, the only multiplayer I thought was necessary in Crackdown was co-op. Because look, if you're gonna do this, you're gonna have to use the auto aim button, and I never understand the point of multiplayer shooting with like the lock on button. It's like who can find the other person first and lock onto them and shoot them. It's not. That's why I didn't. That's why multiplayer didn't work in Metroid Prime 2 or any of those other things. It's kind of weird. And, you know, it was really... You know, Crackdown is floaty, but this felt... Maybe I just haven't played Crackdown in a while, but this felt really floaty. And, like, all the things you're supposed to jump on just weren't big enough. It was just hard.
You know what did demo well, though, was the new Prince of Persia game.
You know, I played that when I got... When I went in for the... Like, the 1 hour for just media, that's what I went to play. And I was actually very surprised, because... You know, that game's kind of getting some flack and not a whole lot of attention. Like, you know, people aren't kind of treating it as, like, a real new Prince of Persia game because the timing just kind of seems like, oh, well, it's a cash-in for the movie. But it's really a pretty well, fully realized game. And, you know, it's very much like the old series, you know, before the relaunch. It seems more compelling to me than the relaunch game was. I know the relaunch game has its fans, but, you know, this one, you have actual environments to traverse through and not just... you know, lines.
Yeah, it looks like basically and, you know, an HD version of the Sands of Time.
Right, and that's pretty much what it is. You know, there's some neat gimmicks here, like you freeze the water so that you can make walls out of water. Yeah, it's like cool, because like, you have to like jump on like the frozen water to use it as like a wall jump, but then you have to unfreeze it to jump through it, which is neat. And it's like, you know, it's a pretty good looking game, so that was cool. Split Second, which we talked about, I really liked that. I thought that was really neat. You know, it's very burnout-y, and obviously, you know, it's the gimmick, but it's a cool gimmick. So
yeah, when you blow up that huge, like, the Sky Needle or whatever it is that comes crashing down, that's awesome.
I got to play Puzzle Quest 2,
What did you think about that?
It was cool because, you know, the main game is very much still Puzzle Quest. They did a couple of things different. The money and the experience are no longer in the puzzle grid. You just get those for doing the puzzles now. And, like, they added, like, one more color, one more magic color for the spells. But, you know, what they really did better was everything outside of the game is just different. Like, you know how Puzzle Quest 1 kind of had that sort of generic and unappealing, that sort of Japanese fantasy artwork to it?
Yeah.
Which, you know, it never felt like you take it that seriously. This one is very much more like a Diablo sort of feel to it. Like, the way you get your missions, you walk around kind of on a grid. You know, it definitely has that feel more to it. So the presentation has really just been kicked up a lot. And it was really cool looking. So I'm actually looking forward to that one. I played Battle Block Theater, which is the Behemoth's new game. Which, it seems kind of like a minigame collection, sort of like a multiplayer minigame collection, although they claim that it's going to have more of a plot than any of their other games. So, but it was cool. It was fun. I think that's pretty much... the major things I played. Am I forgetting something, AJ?
I don't think so.
What did you play?
Let's see. I did play Split Second, which I loved.
I did play. I played a little bit of co-op with Splinter Cell with Chris, but we like died immediately, so not much to say there. Also, when we were done doing that, we turned around and Tycho was right there, so that was fun. We got to meet him for a second. All right,
that's cool.
Go ahead.
Let's see. There was Snoopy Flying Ace that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. There was... the new Hydro Thunder.
How was that?
Which has a subtitle.
So is it a new game? It's not just an HD re-release?
No, yeah. It's a brand new Hydro Thunder game.
That's cool.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
I approve.
I will happily pay $15 to play that on Xbox Live Arcade.
They need to bring back Jet Moto.
I know. But, yeah, I'll take that. I thought that was pretty sweet. There was, I'm trying to think. I didn't play. Oh, I did play Need for Speed in that crazy three screen wide 3D thing that NVIDIA was really proud of. That was kind of neat. There was also, I feel like there's at least one more thing I played. Oh, something I didn't play it, but I did kind of see it was D&D being played on the Microsoft Surface.
Oh, wow. No,
Do you guys know what the Surface is?
I haven't seen that played yet.
Yeah, this thing was hidden away. You had to really go look for it. But what it is
It's touchscreen's the wrong word, but it's basically a giant touchscreen and scanning surface, and it'll display the D&D grid. And you place, like, your actual physical figurines on the grid, and it reads them. And it'll know who's who and which is which and, like, what character it is and all your character stats. And every character has this translucent disc that's, like, their control disc. And wherever that is on the table, a radial menu pops out of it. And so you roll fake dice by touching them and flicking them on the screen. And then you pick your spells and everything off your radial disc. And then, like, it'll change the color underneath this translucent disc to be, like, a green so you could tap it, and then that's your execute. And it just picks up where everything is. It's really, really cool technology. Unfortunately, we'll probably never get to have it. But, you know, it's there. That's really it that I played at PAX. I did play some more Battlefield Bad Company 2 multiplayer at home. It's awesome. I really, really like it. Sorry, just
don't ever do that again.
Asshole.
Yeah. Never again.
My bad. I think that's all I really played. I didn't get to play much else this week since I got home, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris.
I didn't really play hardly any games. I played that that MIT Game Lab project called Dearth. I got to play that with Pete. Yeah, I didn't try that. Not, I mean, you can tell it's a project. It's not really a game per se. It's very early and rough, but still kind of it was kind of a neat concept. Basically, it's some kind of program where when you play it, you can play by yourself or you can play cooperatively with another player. As you're playing it, what's happening is that the AI is learning how players interact with games. So you're essentially training your AI. And but it was, you know, it wasn't that. The only thing that was kind of exciting about playing Dearth was after me and Pete finished playing it, we turned around as we were finishing playing it, Don Woods, who is one of the guys who created the interactive fiction genre with adventure, came up to us and was like looking at it and everything and talking to the gal that was demoing it for us, and as we turned away, Pete kind of, you know, instantly turned into the 10-year-old version of himself and started gushing to Don Woods. It was so adorable. But
oh man,
that was a highlight of that. But yeah, I didn't really play a whole lot of games at PAX. I just kind of, for me, it was all about just hanging out with my buddies and attending the panels and kind of soaking up the sights in Boston. So, go ahead.
I tell you one thing you miss. I wish. It is, because I enjoyed it so much, was the Protoman. I thought that was... I've been listening to their CDs now constantly.
Oh, Protoman?
The Protoman? I'm sad you missed a concert.
Yeah, that was cool. I just caught the second half of it.
Yeah, oh, that was awesome.
But before I went to PAX... Yes,
thank you, George.
Golf clap for you. And Craig.
Because George is the man. Yes, everyone who told me I would
Craig,
like the
Craig
Protoman.
Austin, he's also been pimping them too, so... But before I headed off to PAX, I was playing quite a bit of Red Faction Guerrilla, and I went back to the game.
I play that
it's
too
really
a bit.
Fun.
It's fun. I'm gonna cut you
obviously,
off whenever I want, by the way, because
well,
I'm a
your
rude
show,
jerk.
I guess, so I gotta play by your rules. But
it's everyone's show, but mostly
right.
Mine.
it's a part of a stable of games that I've noticed that are coming down in price. It was $20 pretty much everywhere I went the weekend before PAX, and so I picked it up. And also, Brutal Legend is $20 now. So if I almost bought it, but I thought, you know what, I'll probably play through it, finish it, and never play it again. So I couldn't justify it.
You know, I never even started
it's
that
a crime
yet
because I Jeff Parsons made it a point to say on a show that we did once that, you know, that game was made for people like us. People who love games, who love comedy, and who love metal. And somehow it wound up disappointing people like us. And that kind of kept me away from it.
I liked it.
Well, I mean, I'll eventually play it, but I'm just not in a hurry to right now. And Skate 2 is also available for $20, which I'll probably go pick up at some point.
Did anyone play Skate 3 at PAX?
It always had huge lines, because they had this contest to... what it was... if you could cause so much damage to your character in the Hall of Meat or whatever it's called,
yeah, I was
you got a
how
free skate deck.
coming back with skate decks. I mean, people that look like they would never step foot on a skateboard were carrying around decks, you know, and so obviously something was up. So, yeah, but I didn't play Skate 3, but I was just kind of watching it, and it just looked like Skate, you know, and it didn't look like anything had changed on it, so maybe it's all...
Right.
I never played Skate very much. I was such a Tony Hawk guy back in the day.
Yeah,
it would just be hard, I think.
It's a very different kind of game.
I really like it. It reminds me a lot of Thrasher, Skate and Destroy, which came out right around the time the first Tony Hawk came out, and it was like the competition for Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Really, really hard to play. It was the same thing where when you pulled off a trick and you landed it appropriately, it was like a celebration. You know, it wasn't an instant gratification game like Tony Hawk was, but it was very difficult. It had an awesome soundtrack. It had just kind of a cool, like, true skater feel to it. It's worth checking out if you can find it in a bargain bin somewhere. It's a PlayStation 1 game. It's probably going to be ugly as hell and not age very well, but I recommend checking it out. But anyway, on to Red Faction. I had rented it when it first came out, and I put it on normal difficulty, and I got so infuriated by how damn hard it was that I wind up sending it back. And it wasn't until like a couple weeks later, when I think it was a Listen Up episode or something like that, where they talked about how Red Faction Guerrilla is one of the few games where the ideal difficulty setting is actually easy, or you know, casual. It's called casual, because the casual setting is essentially normal, and normal is hard. And so what I did was I bought the game, I took it home, I got to the point where I got stuck the last time, I reduced the difficulty level to casual, and it was still challenging, but it was not frustrating like it used to be. So now I totally sucked at it. Reduce it, don't feel bad about it, reduce the difficulty, go try it, and I got further, I got a couple cities in, and I'm really enjoying it. I think my only worry about the game is that it's going to start to get old, because I feel like I kind of see what I'm going to be able to do, but what will happen is right where I feel like I'm starting to get bored, they'll unlock a new weapon for me to destroy things in a new way. And like now I'm starting to see air vehicles on the map, and so it's like sweet. I can't wait to hijack one of those of my own. So that's cool.
You know what always bothers me about those games though, GTA and all of those, is there's so much downtime just doing missions. Or in between missions, really, because you're always, you have to drive to this place, talk to this person, watch a little cutscene, read the little dossier, you know. That's why Crackdown was brilliant, because Crackdown, kill this guy.
Yeah, I think the Red Faction would really...
While you're there, go kill that guy.
...would really benefit from a co-op mode, you know, where you could just hop in, hey, you want to do some missions with me? Yeah, sure, and then just... That it would be way better, because that way, when you're driving in between places to go, you can be chatting with your buddy, you know. But it's cool. I highly, highly recommend picking up for $20. I mean, that's a no-brainer. So that's fun. And lastly, I finally played and finished Heavy Rain, and I did
Heavy
it in
Rain.
One day, and that's like the first game that I played in one like long gaming session in forever. I can't even remember the last time I did that. And it's really interesting, and we're actually going to be recording a side mission podcast about it this weekend. So, yeah.
Oh dang it! Wait, this weekend?
Yeah,
it's Easter weekend.
Where we are? No, it's actually Monday. Monday we're going to record it.
Well,
yeah.
Monday?
You guys gonna be around?
I wish I played it. See, my plan is, I have a friend who has Heavy Rain. My plan was to trade Final Fantasy 13 to him when I beat that, to, you know, have his Heavy Rain for a while. Stupid Final Fantasy 13
well,
and stupid long ending.
That's what happens
plus
when
I
you're a Final Fantasy fan.
Whatever. You don't need my
that's
soft story.
When you're a Final Fantasy fan. Ruins the rest of your experience.
I have to... Yep. I want to...
AJ,
all right. Look.
No,
he hasn't played
Red Faction?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Heavy Rain. Just
it's
the demo.
The episode is going to be completely spoiler-ridden, so we're going to be...
Yeah,
I figured. I'm considering reactivating my GameFly account. Just
yeah,
trying to
it's
it
a,
play
it,
through
it's,
there.
Yeah, I don't want to speak a whole lot about it, but I do want to say that being a father of an 11-year-old made the game a lot more real to me as far as the danger and the peril that the main character was going through, because his son, who was about 11, is kidnapped, you know, and that automatically triggered my, you know, triggered my little emotional response. And so
I loved all the people yelling Jason at PAX.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the great meme.
Oh, God.
Jason!
Yeah.
Jason!
The voice acting in that game is fucking atrocious. It's so bad.
Yeah, so that's what killed it for me, too.
See, I thought that from the demo, and I noticed that, but I'm like, the voice acting can't be bad in this game. It would be too important. How could the voice acting be bad?
Even though that the voice acting is bad, and it's not all bad. It's just some characters are worse than others. Like, there's this one character named Wild Jack. He's this really big, large black guy who is a criminal kind of... He's not on the lam, but he's like he's got a criminal record, and you have to go interview him at some point. I don't even think they had like a real black guy do his voice. They had like some really horrible like guy from Bosnia, some white dude from Bosnia, try to do a black voice. It was horrible.
See, that's what I thought when I saw Alpha Protocol too. Is how can the voice acting in this game be bad? That should have been a priority.
But, I mean, that from aside the fact, you know. That shouldn't sway people from not playing it, at least.
I guess.
It's very... I have not played a game that handles tension as well as this game in a long time. It's just... Every time there is a fight, or there's some kind of struggle, or an action sequence, the way that the controls work is just brilliant. And it's... I mean, I had literally, every time there was a tense moment, I had to stand up and, like, really pay attention to what was going on, or else, you know, something was going to happen that I didn't like. So anyway, I'll be talking about it in that episode. So when you guys finally play it and beat it, you know, tune in. You'll hear what I had to think about it.
All right. Why don't we get to the releases then? Ashga?
Okay. On Nintendo WiiWare, Wario DIY Showcase and Diner Dash. The virtual console is Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber.
Really? Isn't that supposed to be really good?
Yeah, people seem really excited. Then DSi has Disney Fireworks, which if it has illuminations in it, I might buy. Save the Turtles, the Nintendo DSi Metronome, the Nintendo DSi Instrument Tuner, and Super Yum Yum Puzzle Adventures.
Instrument Tuner, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Metronome, I don't know, but an Instrument Tuner could be useful.
Right.
Mega Man 10 is the Xbox Live Arcade game this week. Three games on demand. Karaoke Revolution.
I need to beat that, too, still.
Ugh. Karaoke Revolution, American Idol Encore 2, Hitman Blood Money, and UFC 2009 Undisputed. PS3 has NBA Unrivaled. PSP has Buzz Master Quiz, Dead or Alive Paradise, and Blaze Blue Calamity Trigger. PSN has
It's actually Blaze Blue.
4x4. I thought it was Blaze Blue.
It's Blaze. I always said Blaze Blue, but it's Blaze Blue.
You correct it. I used to say Blaze.
No.
Like, no, it's actually Blaze.
No, you used to say Blaze, and I correct
you. I even
you,
Blaze. Almost said Blaze Blue just now, and I stopped myself halfway through
Listen.
The word and made it into a Blaze.
No, wait. Maybe it is Blaze. I can't remember now. No, it is Blaze. I would say Blaze because I thought it was like Blazeberry
okay,
Blue.
Good.
You're right.
That's
You're right. I got
say.
Confused. My bad.
All right, fine.
Forgive me. Forgive.
Good old games. This might go back 2 weeks, but we didn't talk about this stuff. They don't have dates readily apparent when this was released. Goblins Pack, which I believe Pete talked about in the Machinarium podcast. Siberia, another point-and-click adventure. Betrayal at Krondor and Aquanox 2 Revelation.
I really want freaking System Shock 2 on there because I just can't play it any other way. They have to put it on. All right. Retail releases. Mountain Blade Warband for PC. There you go. WarioWare DIY for the DS. Dead or Alive Paradise for the PSP, Prison Break, The Conspiracy for 360 PS3, Samurai Showdown Sen for 360. Is this an arcade game? Did you talk about this?
No.
No? Okay. You sure? I have a hard time believing.
That is a picture of a box.
Interesting. They actually released a retail Samurai Showdown game. All right. Sakura Wars, So Long My Love for the Wii. That's interesting. Oh, God. Mimana Year Chronicles for the PSP. Sounds like...
Sora goes out there like, you idiot, it's Mimana Ayar.
This sounds like something EGM would have me review.
Look at this next game. Look at this next game.
Again? Or Xenonia?
No, again.
What again for DS? Again is an interactive crime novel. Oh, it's the Hotel Dusk guys. I thought they just got
like in financial trouble or something.
Yeah, but apparently they got this game done, which is great.
All right. Cabala's bug, Monster Buck Hunter. Is it Cabala? Right. Cabala?
Cabala's, I think.
All right. I need a... God, I wish... I was hoping so bad that Capcom would have some sort of presence at PAX so I can get, like, a t-shirt or a poster of that Mega Man 10, you know, picture.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
And the Secret Files Tunguska for the DS. Fascinating. All right. I guess that does it, guys.
Man. All right.
That's it.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, me
I
too,
I got
man.
Shit to do. Oh, we're done. We have nothing else to talk about. That's right. Whew. Edge guy, a maestro in the rise.
All right.
Edge guy, a nice pleasant surprise. I'm telling you that I always wanted to do the musical podcast. I think about how many views that would get.
I told you I'd do it.
If you saw in Kotaku, some guy made a whole hour long podcast, a video game podcast, and it's a musical, you would listen to that, would you not?
I guess so.
That's right. It's coming. It'll be so great. All right. If you know how to sing, by the way, please contact us. Or write music. Because we actually lack any of the skills to make a musical.
That's why we haven't done it yet.
But I really want to do it. I can write lyrics, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess anyone could. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
Yeah, I did.
You guys see my review in that EGM thing?
Nice.
I did. It was very exciting. They didn't put in the other review yet, though.
They haven't put in a lot of the reviews yet. I think I heard that there's a part two coming. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe. But I got in, so hey.
Yeah.
The
dog's barking at something.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
We'll
see you next time. Thanks, Chris, for joining us. Yep, so until next week.
We out.
Okay.
Bye.